Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hey there. Hi. And welcome to ENN, which tonight is brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I don't want a guy with a visor.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
You're a loser. You're a loser.
Anything else over there, Anthony? The great, great Bill Hung.
That's so good.
Why is Bill Hung so funny?
It even sounded good, too. A little echo in the background. Just felt like you were saying it like a big room.
The great, great Bill Hung you're talking about.
Yes.
The great, great Bill Hung. All right, well, we have spent some time today talking about the Dallas Cowboys, their huge, disappointing effort against San Francisco yesterday. Here's the final play of the game and how it sounded on CBS.
Prescott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
It will. They'll be able to clock this. They were planned for it. It's downtown.
Official gets in the way. The game's over.
Gosh.
The game is over.
Oh, he did.
Oh, they're going to look at this.
It's going to be over because the umpire has to touch the ball. Of course, that's ridiculous for a game to end like that, Jim. Wow, I am livid if I'm a Cowboy fan and if I'm a Niners fan.
That's the end of the game. The game is over.
He knew right away the umpire has to place the ball.
The ref, I like the ref, the second he made the call, the game was over. The ref started sprinting. They knew they needed off of that field.
And then the crowd's throwing stuff at them, and then when Dak Prescott
You know what, Michael, before you ruin a story in the middle of the story,
Okay. Let's
hear Dak Prescott after the game when he thought trash was being thrown at players.
That's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team. You're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to the sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah, they were at the referees.
Credit to them then.
Not a bad thing. Not a smart thing to say.
Well, especially since it just covers, like, just that's not the reason you lost the game. All right, the spot. Don't make it about the spotting the ball. And I saw that on Twitter too. It's like, oh, the official didn't give us a chance. No, you didn't give yourself a chance. Officials got to spot the ball. If your quarterback knew better and got the ball to the official, maybe you would have had a chance in an extra play. But you thought giving it to the center was a bright idea.
So here's my question: let's say he slides a second earlier. He knows exactly what to do. He jumps up. He runs to the referee. Hands him the ball. But at that point, it takes the ref too long to set the ball. Would anything have been different, or the clock still would have just run off?
Or would they have might have been able to get together? If they, like, let's say the official like fumbled the ball, they probably would have given him a second if they felt that the official didn't properly spot the ball.
Well, Orlovsky said that you're taught. He said, "Don't leave the ball down there. which is what they did. He said, and don't toss the ball to an official who's probably 60 years old and could drop it. He said, you must hand it to them. And they didn't do that.
That's why I got to get to the bottom of why they thought that that was a good idea.
Well, let's here's an answer to the question I asked you earlier. I asked on the call earlier, I said, what if Prescott, instead of sliding, turned and intentionally threw the ball backwards and out of bounds, right? So he just wings it like a lateral out of bounds. It, Don, the rulebook says, if a fumble or backward pass by any player goes out of bounds, the game clock starts when an official places the ball at the inbounds line and the referee signals that the ball is ready for play. So it would have stopped the clock. Well, you would then just have to be prepared to get everyone ready and run the ball back to the line.
But I thought about this, Peter. Whenever there's been, like, let's say there's a fumble near the out of bounds, and a player like punches or kicks the ball to get it out of bounds, like that's an illegal move. They will not give you the benefit of that. Like, so would there be some sort of a penalty? Prescott throwing the ball intentionally out of bounds, wouldn't that be the same thing? Would they just let the clock run?
It's a good question.
I don't, because you know, it's a question of possession. It wouldn't be a question of possession here. I'm not sure what they would have done. But again, even if he did that, Peter, think of the time it would take for him to be able to stop, throw the ball. Once he gives himself up, they're going to stop the clock.
Right.
So if everything went according to plan, they would have had 1 second on the clock and one chance to win the game.
Why not have
two chances at the 40?
By the way, and how good a chance are you getting when your offensive line is rushing that hard to get set? Like, how good a look are you really going to get? Now, let's hear from Mike McCarthy saying the QB draw was the right decision.
We call thresholds and, you know, the field position, what yard line you're at and what you're trying to get to, too, based on, you know, the defense that they were playing. They were in a sideline defense, so they were protecting the sidelines. And so that was the best option to, you know, to be able to get the ball. I mean, it's like anything else. Do you want to be running the Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. You know, it's just like anything. It's the execution between us and the officiators putting the ball obviously wasn't, you know, we shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. Is that the quote you're looking for?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Everybody in this league, everybody has played the game and plays the game, says he's wrong. I'd say his job is hanging in the balance.
Here's Dan Orlovsky on KJM earlier talking about the mistakes made on that final play.
When you're teaching this play to your football team, you have to get everybody to understand, you have to declare yourself down, give yourself up 2 or 3 yards sooner. That extra 2 or 3 yards that you might get are not worth the extra 2 seconds. So Dak Prescott in that play probably goes 3 to 5 yards too far. The second thing is, you as a ball carrier, whoever it is, has to get up and get the ball to the official, Larry Fitzgerald style. You never run the ball and toss it to the official. These guys are 60 years old. It's not being disrespectful. It's the heat of the moment. I'm not expecting that guy to catch a ball that I tossed him. You have to find that official and hand him the football. You have to know that the official actually has to touch the football before the snap can happen again.
Mike McCarthy's protecting his quarterback.
Somebody's protecting somebody.
Because even if you want to defend the play, it was not executed properly by the quarterback. First of all, what's the difference of 5 yards? Let's say he slid at the 25 instead of the 20. They would have been able to spike the ball with time. You're telling me there's a difference between a first and 10 from the 20 as opposed to the 25 when you're down to your final play? So he could kill Dak for sliding too late. He can also kill Dak for not getting the ball to the official. So even if you want to defend the play, which I wouldn't, I still think it's a ridiculous play, all the fault then lies in the quarterback. So he can blame the official all he wants. It's the right call. Your quarterback didn't execute it properly. He cost you the game.
And also, it seems like the number that everybody knows, Steve Young said the number, Orlovsky said the number, everybody that's spoken about it says the number. The minimum amount of time that you could have to run that play is 17 seconds. They elected to do it with 14. You're cutting 3 seconds out of the equation. And they parse everything down to the finest powder.
And
you don't
think worked.
Those 3 seconds mean
with
something?
17, they would have gotten it.
Yes.
Regardless of the ref, they would have gotten it.
And again, I'm not going to kill Mike McCarthy for possibly misspeaking, Peter. The line of scrimmage wasn't the 50. It was the 40. So you're not even telling people where the line of scrimmage was. So why are you defending a play and you've got the wrong line of scrimmage? It wasn't the 50. All right, then if it's the 50, you could say, well, I just think we'd have a better shot because 50, that's a really deep throw, whatever. But it was the 40. He had the wrong line of scrimmage. I'll go as far, and again, I'm not defending Mike McCarthy because I don't think he's that great of a coach. Makes me respect Aaron Rodgers even more as a player that he won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. But if I had to guess, I think Dak did it on his own, and McCarthy's defending him. There's no way you draw up a play like that. None. Without making sure he knows exactly where to slide and exactly what to do with the ball after he did it. And Dak did neither. So why would you run a play without educating your quarterback on what he's supposed to do? Peter, what's the difference between the 20 and the 25? If he slides 5 yards earlier, it's no problem. Even with the botch, if you want to mess with, say, the official screwed it up or whatever, they would have had an extra second. Slide it to 30. Give yourself 2 more seconds, whatever. I don't get where an extra 5-10 yards with one play is going to make that big of a difference. Where you would risk running out of time. You can't defend it.
It's a crazy, crazy, crazy play call. Let's hear the end of the Raiders-Bengals game on NBC on Saturday.
The season comes down to this. It is Carr end zone. Intercepted. Jermaine Pratt has it. And for the first time in 31 years, Cincinnati, your Bengals have won a playoff game.
The Bengals end the longest NFL drought without a playoff win. First postseason win since 90.
Did you on that text chain earlier in the day? I forget who said it. It was Anthony Andrew. That no one ever text the Bengals winning a playoff game because texting happened a year after the last time they won a playoff game.
The first text was 92.
92, and their last playoff win was 91.
So crazy. Some other interesting stats from the weekend. We talked about the Cowboys' disappointment. It's 11 straight playoff appearances without reaching the conference championship, which breaks a tie with the Chiefs from 1994 to 2017 for the longest of all time. Speaking of the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes threw 5 passing touchdowns in 11 minutes and 31 seconds of game time, easily the fastest span for 5 passing TDs in postseason history.
Holy crap.
Yeah, according to Elias.
And didn't seem like he broke a sweat.
No. It was crazy, too, because initially the first quarter, it felt like Pittsburgh looked like they were in quicksand. Yeah, it looked like Pittsburgh knew what to do defensively. And
Peter said it best. The turnover, the touchdown, all of a sudden the spread is now 19.5. Then Peter got something in his eye, and by the time he blinked it out, it was 28-7.
It was crazy. So fast. And it looked absolutely hopeless for Pittsburgh. Tom Brady, 2 passing touchdowns. That's 85 passing touchdowns in his postseason career. 40 more than the next closest. Aaron Rodgers in Montana tied for second with 45.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I was seeing those stats. It's
here's a guy.
Now, of course, most of those touchdowns came with the New England Patriots. The Patriots were blown out by the Bills. They become the first team in postseason history to score a touchdown on each of their first 7 drives of a game. They were perfect offensively. The only third down the Bills did not convert was their last one, which was a kneel down.
He had more touchdown passes, Peter, than incomplete passes. 5-4.
Destruction.
And think, I mean, people never would admit it. We never know for sure. Tom Brady has to be just reveling in this. Reveling. He leaves last year, he wins the Super Bowl, they don't even make the playoffs. He wins his first game, they don't only lose, but they get like historically embarrassed.
It's I'm telling you guys, unless something dramatic happens, I think we thought for a while it would always be equal. The narrative is going to end up being that it was more Brady than Belichick.
And it's so unfair.
And that's not right. Yeah, well, I agree. That's not right. Well, I think they both needed each other. He became that quarterback because of Belichick.
Did we not
Brady's
see
in the argument?
But you know what? Then people are just lazy, because what happened with the Patriots when he was the quarterback the year before he left? Right? They didn't do anything. And now he leaves. You expect the Patriots to get better? And then with a rookie quarterback, yeah, and getting guys back from COVID, he was able to then take that team to the playoffs. And come on, that is a really good team that he joined. Again, I don't want to take anything away from either of them. But if you want to just judge it on look what he's done in Tampa and look what Bill's done after Tom left, I think is lazy.
I will say this, though. They're down a couple of big pieces right now, and they came out in their first playoff game and they dominated. They were damn good. As you could tell by my pick, certainly exceeded my expectations.
Well, we're talking about greatness and longevity, and that is so rare. I mean, who do you even compare him to? Like Gordie Howe? Like, has there been a basketball player that's been this good this late in his career?
LeBron.
Vince Carter's played forever, but Vince Carter wasn't at this level.
LeBron's the only one.
Yeah, LeBron is doing this, and I think it's harder in basketball. He's having as good a year as he's had, like, right, 15 years ago.
All right, so tack on another 10 or another 8 for LeBron. We're talking
about 38 now.
He's 38, and Tom's
so
44.
Six.
Right.
Yeah.
So another 6 years. Will LeBron James be playing basketball the way Tom's playing football right now at 44? No.
But in fairness to LeBron, they don't protect LeBron like quarterbacks get protected.
No, I listen, it's apples and oranges. I get it. I just obviously in sports, you look at the guys that have played beyond 40. You know, Vince Carter wasn't this good. And listen, like, Gordie Howe wasn't this good.
Well, listen,
Gordie Howe was 53. He wasn't, like, the greatest player in the league.
When Gordie Howe was 40, he had 44 goals and 59 assists.
And that year they called him 40 Howe.
When he was good at Brady age,
joke.
At 45, he had 31 goals and 69 assists, 100 points.
So that would be the comparable.
And LeBron. That's all you can really think of.
And Nolan Ryan.
And Kareem.
No.
Kareem was definitely. But he was still a force. Would he retire when he was 42?
Yeah, but he wasn't this.
Brady's not a, you know, this is beyond force.
Mm-hmm.
This is still, like we're talking about a guy that could be the MVP of the league. Right? Kareem wasn't threatening to win the MVP at 42. All right, Gordy wasn't threatening to win the MVP at 44 years old.
He was at 40. Kareem was averaging 14.5 points a game. So still a nice player. You know, and at 38, like LeBron is, Kareem was still scoring 23.5 points a game.
So right now, the basketball version would be Kareem until LeBron, you know, a few more years. The baseball equivalent, I guess, would be Nolan Ryan, and hockey would be Gordie Howe. And I still think of all those guys, Tom is better now than those guys were, or what LeBron James will be when he gets to be, you know, 43, 44 years old. It's just incredible. And, yes,
I think
are protected.
That age, Don, you might have come up with the closest comparable. Nolan Ryan was still throwing, like, almost 100 miles an hour when he was 45 years old. Which
and
was unheard
pitching,
of.
He was pitching no-hitters, striking a lot of guys out. But to beat Tom Brady, he'd have to be in contention for the Cy Young.
But a pitcher who pitches once every 5 days does not have the same impact as a quarterback who plays all the time. And you have to be on a good team in baseball. You have to be on a good team in football, but a quarterback does dictate how good a team can be.
Right, but it's kind of even where you pitch every 5 days as opposed to playing once a week.
Yeah, but there's four other games where you're not playing is what I'm saying.
Right. But, listen, Nolan Ryan was striking a lot of guys out, and I guess he pitched a no-hitter well into his 40s, that last one with Texas. But, again, how close was he winning to the Cy Young? Tom Brady might win the MVP.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of LeBron James, terrible loss by the Lakers over the weekend, getting blown out by the Nuggets, 133-96. And Magic Johnson jumped on social media and said, after being blown out by the Nuggets, 133-96, we as Lakers fans can accept being outplayed, but we deserve more than a lack of effort and no sense of urgency. Jeannie Buss, you deserve better. Russell Westbrook was asked about it Saturday by reporters. He said, everybody's entitled in this world to their opinion regardless of what it is. You can either take it and run with it, or you can take it and put it in one ear and out the other. And you cannot respond to it. Magic's entitled to his opinion. He's not here every day. He's not around us every day. He's not aware of what's going on internally with us and trying to figure things out. But I have no response to that. LeBron's response was by jumping on social media himself and saying, Laker Nation, I apologize. I promise we'll be better.
I got to tell you what. I know that Magic Johnson is beloved by everybody. The players must hate his guts. I mean, they can almost accept some media hack saying something like that, but Magic Johnson knows how hard this game is to play, and he's got to be shooting down at them from up high. That's awful. Awful. And he wasn't saying that like as an ESPN commentator. He just shot it out on a tweet. For what? For what?
But I mean, are you not allowed, as one of the legends of a team, if you're seeing literally terrible effort, and the Lakers had that on Friday, mm-hmm. if you're seeing that, are you not allowed to suggest that?
Well, you're allowed, but you have to take a different road. And I always bring it up to this guy. If Derek Jeter didn't play for the Marlins, you think he's critiquing the way Aaron Judge played or if the Yankees aren't playing hard enough? No. You take what you did and you watch from up high. You don't shoot down at players of today when you know how hard the game is. I'm surprised at Magic. Also, when you were the GM, you know what? You failed miserably. And you quit. Does anybody say that about him? It's not fair. What other former player goes up and in on present-day players like that? Think about it. Does Brett Favre do it?
Kevin Durant expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained MCL. That is now the diagnosis after getting an MRI on Sunday morning. Optimism that he could be back in closer to 4 weeks, but sometime between 4 to 6. Durant, of course, averaging 29 points a game. He's on pace to be to have his third best season in his career and the best since he won MVP in 2013-2014. Wonder how much this will hurt his MVP candidacy, guys.
Might hurt it a lot.
Yeah, can you miss a month to 6 weeks?
And well, we'll see how they play. Affected? If they're just awful, maybe that accentuates how valuable he is. I'm not sure, but I don't think it could help.
Novak Djokovic could be barred from the French Open.
What?
Yeah, because of his vaccination status or lack.
Holy crap.
Yeah, new law in France excludes unvaccinated people from sports venues, restaurants, and other public places, and it will apply to anyone who wants to play in the French Open. France's sports ministry says once the new law is in place, there will be no exceptions until further notice. Hmm.
Got to give him credit, though, although I don't like what he's about. If he doesn't get the vaccine now, he really doesn't want to get the vaccine because he's missing an opportunity to win that one more major where he would have more than anybody. He won 9 Australian Opens and refused to do it.
Now, what is his issue?
Just won't do it. He's had COVID, so why should he have to do it?
But I think wasn't he trying to get like the medical exemption
well,
for
the
it?
Well, the exemption was, hey, I've had COVID. What do I need the vaccine?
Oh, that's
for?
What it is. Because I didn't know if there was something else that he was claiming. He's just claiming that I've had it already.
Right. Well, he obviously doesn't want to take the vaccine.
There's also the fact that he's a yo-yo. That'll do it for ENN. ENN.
Oh.
Which tonight is brought to you by our friends at Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game tonight. Try the Hennessy Playmaker, the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
How I was wronged by Michael did not make the cut. How about
well,
that?
How about when we come back?
Next.
How about when next? Is that cool?
I like it. I want to get it out there.
All right. Also, not just Monday Night Football tonight, but MegaCast is back, the Manning cast. Guest one, Larry Fitzgerald. Guest two, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Guest three, Russell the Muscle Wilson.
You made that up.
Russell the
Hey,
Muscle.
Buddy, hey.
Not a thing.
Now,
but that
now,
is a big
our
lineup.
Our good buddy Graphics Joker said Rex Ryan sure does it. Okay. But Rex Ryan did it in his job. Magic's not doing it in his job. He's taking a shot on Twitter for no reason. If he was on NBA with Stephen A. And Mike Greenberg and said it, I wouldn't say a word.
And
that's his job.
To...
Charles Barkley does it. Shaq does it. Kenny does it.
Yeah.
But to just do it for no reason, for what?
And you have to understand the howitzer that is when it's Magic Johnson.
Right.
No offense to Rex. Rex wants to kill the Jets or whatever. That's fine. This is Magic Johnson, one of the great Lakers of all time, doing it. He has to understand the significance that those quotes will have.
Yeah, Rex is not to the Jets what Magic is to the Lakers.
Mike Mayock, according to several reports, out as the Raiders' general manager, so that probably doesn't bode well for Rich Bisaccia to keep his job as a coach either. They're looking for a GM now, and they haven't announced anything on a coach. 1-800-919-3776, how I wronged Don. Coming up next, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
He had 44 goals and 59 assists.
And that year they called him 40 How.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.